Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We're still looking at the war, looking at the battle. Looking at these weapons. And we're going to probably be, if the Lord allows, we're probably going to be on this weapon of the Word for a good little bit. We're going to look at a lot about right division. And we're going to look at a lot of things that Brother Joe has taught us over the year about Paul's gospel. We're going to look at the different gospels in the Word of God. Because I'm going to tell you, we can hurt people by the things we say about the Bible if we're not dividing it correctly. We can hurt people. I remember as a young Christian, things I heard preached had me confused a lot on faith. It took me a long time to understand that I wasn't saved by my faith. It took me a long time to realize that. I was saved by the faith of the Son of God. And that's what saved me. And I had that faith imputed in me the moment I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. But I didn't understand that. So there were a lot of things that were said and kept me confused. And I think it's important that we understand the Word of God if we're going to be helpful to people. And I'm telling you what, we're living in a day where people know a lot. They got a lot of knowledge, but have very little understanding, I think. They have a lot of knowledge. And we know what does knowledge do? It puffeth up. It'll puff you up. But understanding won't. And when you have knowledge with understanding, it'll make you humble. It'll humble you. It's important that we, along with our knowledge, that we have understanding. I remember earlier as a Christian, you know, and I made a comment at my work. I said something like, I said, you know, perfect love casteth out all fear. And a Pentecostal spoke up and said, you're wrong. It does not. He said, perfect love casteth out fear, not all fear. And he rebuked me, and I had it coming. I was wrong. He was right. But I also, see, and if we're not careful, we can give people wrong teaching, just little words that we add. That's what the Bible, I think, calls leaven. Leaven. And I think there's a lot of leaven in the teaching today, the Word of God. And that's one of the things we're going to be looking at sometime later. But right now, we're just going to generally open up looking at this weapon that God has placed in our hands. And as Brother Joe has said many times about this weapon of the Word of God, it's a two-edged sword. And if you don't handle it right, it'll cut your head off. You'll cut your own head off. And so it's important that we study the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You see, I said some things, and later on I was ashamed I said them because I was wrong. The Bible said, add not to God's word, lest thou be ashamed. See, I did that day at my work. I felt ashamed, you know what I mean, afterwards. He rebuked me, and I looked it up, and he was right. I went back and said, you're right, you know. But I felt ashamed. I added to God's word. And we got to be careful of doing that. And this weapon has to be used correctly. But in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading in verses 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that's where it's got to start. It's the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Whenever you think about wrestling with the devil, I want you to remember Job, what Job, the Lord said to Job over there. And he showed him Leviathan. And he showed him how powerful he was. And boy, he showed him his majesty that God had gave him. God gave him great majesty. He had a glory that God gave to Lucifer. And he had great glory that God had gave him in majesty. And he showed him, great power that Satan had. He said, now put your hand on him. Put your hand on him. Lay your hand on him. He said, remember the battle. He said, you think you can handle him? We can't handle him. And the Lord wants us to understand that we got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, I would caution you. I've heard people say, boy, when the devil gets on your back, you know, quote Scripture at him. Hey, I would suggest you don't talk to him. Don't even talk to him. Don't try to rebuke him. You know? If Michael, one of the most powerful angels of heaven, hey, durst not bring a railing accusation, he said, the Lord rebuke thee and keep on going. You know what I mean? He didn't have nothing to say to him. He didn't argue with him. You don't argue with the devil. You don't quote Scripture to him. If you don't quote Scripture, quote them to yourself. Amen? Remind yourself of what the Word of God has promised you. Just stand right where you're at, look toward heaven, call upon God, call upon your big brother, and said, the enemy's at the door. Will you answer it, please? Amen? And don't get into a debate or an argument with him. You've laid your hand upon him. He's whooped you many a time, has he not? Beat you down, huh? Hurt you up? Cripple you, mess in your mind. Hey, you got junk in your life. You can think back and remember. He tries to bring it up to you. Amen. Don't go to him. Go to God. Go to God. So we're going to be strong in the Lord. Remember the enemies that's coming that you're coming against. But our weapons that God has given us are more than adequate to supply what we need in adversity. Just don't try to do it yourself. Let God. Let it be God. Be strong in the Lord. That's the way it starts. Finally, my brethren. Boy, when you come to this armor of God, he said, be strong in the Lord. I mean, you get up close to Jesus. Amen? Don't try to do anything. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Don't try to take him on. Don't try to take yourself on. You can't change yourself. You're no match for your own flesh. Only God can handle you. Man, we need to realize that. You're having a problem with your flesh, go to God about it. Don't try to straighten it out yourself. You'll make it more of a mess than when you got started. Go to the Lord. He says, wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. See, we lie to ourselves. We'll lie to ourselves. The heart. I know I got a new heart. I got the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I got an old heart too. That heart wasn't done away with. It's attached to this flesh. I'll never forget my wife. This guy got up there and he preached and he ran and raved. Boy, he said, I'm telling you what, buddy, when I got saved, I got a brand new owner. He said, I don't want to do the things I used to do. Well, sometimes he don't want to, but sometimes he did want to. I know what's in man. He ain't deceiving me. I remember I went home, my wife asked me, she said, Dave, you ever find yourself wanting to do things that you said? I mean, she confused her. I said, yes, and so does he, if he had told the truth. See, there's a warfare going on, folks. You know, against the old man and the new man. And they're at war. It's like an old story about, you know, about the Indian chief who running them dog fights, you know. He said one time the black dog would win, Other times, when he was betting on the black dog would win. When the chief was betting on the white dog would win. And so he asked him, he says, how is you always able to know which one's going to win? He said, well, he said, a week before the fight, whichever one I want to win, I feed real good and I starve down. Huh? And whatever we feeding is what's going to win. You know? And that's the reason why we need the Lord. We need Him to create in us the right appetite. You got flesh. It ain't got but one appetite. And it's for the hog pens of this world. It's for self-gratification. And that flesh is insatiable. It's starving. Especially if you've been starving it. Amen? And it's going to rise up. It's going to want what it wants. And guess what? Until the rapture takes place, the catching away of the church takes place, or until they plant you out there in the ground, that flesh is going to be out there demanding its way to the day we leave out of here. And we got to realize that. It says, we got to know the truth. Thy word is truth. Paul says, within me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Mark her down. There's nothing good in this old body. This brain ain't worth 2 cents. Its memories are corrupt. And it'll lead you in corruption. That's the reason why you got to renew your mind. You need to get in the Word. You need to read it and study it. And ask God to help you to have understanding. Not just knowledge, but understanding. So you'll know what's happening. So you'll have spiritual discernment. I know that the Word can give you spiritual discernment. You look over in Hebrews, we're going to look at that. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It'll show you what you really are. It'll show you why you do some of the things you do. You ever asked this? You ever said to this? If you haven't, you're one of thousands. I can't believe I done that. I can't believe I done that. I can't believe I said that. You know why? We don't know ourselves. Our own heart will deceive us. But this Word of God knows why you did it. This Word of God knows why you said it. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So truth, and above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Every part of this armor is dealing with the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Every bit of it. Every bit of this armor is the Word of God. Look here. And taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I mean, we need to memorize and have Bible promises. When the devil comes at you and say, you're a sorry no-account rascal. And, buddy, when that dart hits you, you say, well, that's true. I'm a sorry no-account rascal. But I got a good God. Amen? I mean, you know, no matter what he throws at you, you're going to have these thoughts come to your mind. And you need to bring all these thoughts under the power of the Word of God. Let the Word of God change your thinking. You know? When he reminds you what kind of a scoundrel you are, I said, yeah, that's why I need Jesus. Amen. Huh? I need the Lord. I need him. We sing that song, I need him every hour. Hey, I need him every minute. I need him every second. It don't take but a second to really mess up. You know what? Huh? I mean, a second will mess you up. So, I mean, you be going on doing something there at work, and all of a sudden somebody will do something to you, and before you know it, blam, out of your mouth comes something. You can't take it back. It's done. You can go and try to mend it by making an apology or whatever, but you can't take that back. Then you're mending fences, you know? And boy, and the devil said, there's one more button I know I can push. Boy, huh? Oh, man, I know that gets him. I'll come around and push that button. Watch him, see if I can get him to mess up again, you know? It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, we looked at 7 weeks about prayer. I don't want you to forget about it. I hope you've been working on that. I hope you've been praying about that. I hope you've been studying on this thing of prayer, because it's essential. Keep those communications up with God. Keeping those communications with God. Keeping that supply line coming from God. Prayer is essential, because you know how you gonna understand this word? It's gonna have to come from God. That's what we're gonna start looking at now. But right here he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I tell you, every part of this armor is the Word of God. It's the living Word of God. It's the written Word of God. It's Christ in you, the Word of God. That's what's going to protect you, because without Him, we can do nothing. We got to realize that it's Christ in us that's going to help us to walk, to talk, to learn, to do everything we do. It's got to be. Paul said, for me to live is what? Christ. To die is gain. He realized that, hey, that he could not live a righteous life. Paul understood he could not do right. He understood that. He understood that he could not live the Christian life. He understood that. Do you? That's something we got to come to grips with. You got to go back to that, having your loins girt about with the truth. And this word is truth. And this word shows us over and over again, we cannot do this. It's got to be Christ doing it in us. We are His workmanship. I like that song, Oh, Let's Roll Off, used to sing. Once it was my working, His it hence shall be. Once I tried to use Him, but now He uses me. Once His power I wanted, but now the Mighty One. Once for self I labored, but now Himself alone. All in all is Jesus, of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is my everything. And that's what we got to come to grip. We got to understand. You know, because that's the way I was learning Christianity early, Brother Rick, is you learn how to get Him to do what you want Him to do. You do this and He'll respond this way. That ain't the way it is at all. That's so false. He's going to do right. I need to get yielded up to Him. Hey, I am the hammer. I am the screwdriver. I'm just a tool. I don't know how to operate myself. I need the Master to take me in His hands and use me. And that's what we got to come to grips with. We got to come to this truth. You don't get God on your side. Don't you remember old Joshua came out there? He come across the captain of the Lord. He said, you be for us or against us. Huh? He was ready to go ahead. He said, nay, I ain't for you. I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts. He said, oh, I understand. I'm on your side. Amen. Well, that's where we got to come. Well, we're on the Lord's side. We're letting the Lord use us. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that He has afore ordained that we should walk in them. But we got to let Him have His way in us. Notice this right here. It says, on this word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6:17. I want you to turn over to Revelations 19. I want to look at this, the power of this Word of God. Revelations 19. That's what we're kind of going to look at today. It's the power of the Word of God. In Revelations 19, look down here at verses 13. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses. Notice this. Who's leading? Who's leading our lives? Who's directing us? See? Is it the Word of God? Or are we just trying to learn the Word of God and try to use it? You know, it don't work that way. It just will not work. You can't make it fit. You can't manipulate God. You can't. God's going to say, "Well, I'll make an exception for you." No, it's always the same. It's the Word of God which effectually works in us. Amen. Notice this. He said, "And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That's the power of the Word of God. Man, there's a lot of people. Hey, go ahead. You butt up against this book. God said He honored His Word above all His name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow. And every tongue's going to confess to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If at the name of Jesus, and He said He honored His Word above His very name, buck up against this book. You're going to fall down before it one day. Amen. Do you know that what we read in these pages, if we yield to it, we're yielding to God. But if we go against it, who do you think we're going against? This book is alive. You say, "Well, it's just pages with print on it." I don't care about that. This Word is alive. It's alive. Heard an old story a long time ago. A guy was over there, and he had a hat, and it was sitting down on the ground. And he was sitting there. He was sitting there holding the hat, and he was hollering. He said, "It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!" And all these people were gathering around. Said, "What's alive? What's alive?" He picked up the hat. He picked up the Bible. Said, "The Word of God, and it's alive. It'll make you alive. It's quick and powerful. It's alive. You can burn it." But Thy Word is forever settled in heaven. It's powerful. This Word of God, I can't begin to... History is pre-written by this book right here. It's coming. Everything that we see in these pages has been fulfilled or being fulfilled or will be fulfilled. It's never failed. God, when He looked, when He created this thing, and He's in eternity, and He looked down on time, which is a flat page with Him, He wrote everything, how it was going to pan out. He knew everything that men would decide and do, according to His foreknowledge. He can look ahead and wrote it down and penned it down in this book so we could understand what's coming. He wants us to know. He don't want us to be ignorant I'm sad to say so many of us are. But God didn't mean for us to be. He gave us a book so we could study it and know what God wants us to know. I don't think this book is everything that God knows. It's everything that God knows He wants us to know right now. And if we could figure this book out, I could be wrong. It could be everything. I don't know. The more I scratch at it, the more I realize I don't know nothing. This book gets broader and deeper. It's like a river. It's ever widening with a little tributary sprinkling down in until it turns out into an ocean. I'm serious. That's the way the book appears to me. The more I dig and scratch and look into it, the depth is unsearchable. It's like trying to figure out what's in the bottoms of the oceans. You start thinking you know something about the ocean, and all of a sudden, other things start revealing itself. Oh, this book is deep and powerful. Look also, turn over here. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, looking at the power of this book. Look down here. I'm going to read in verse 7. It said, again, he limited a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, it is said, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And that's talking about Israel, that people of God. Whenever you see that word, people of God, it's always referring to Israel. We're grafted in. So you can put yourself there too. But it's not talking about the Gentile church. It's talking about Israel. Whenever you see that word, people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fail after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick. That word quick there means like when you tear your fingernail and you get down there. Now, I can sit there, I can bite that thing, can't feel a thing. Yeah? But you keep going down there, and it gets quick. In other words, it's alive. That part out here is dead. But that thing's growing out back here. It's alive. And the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. It's alive. It's quick, and it's powerful. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. See, we're talking about the operation of God right here. You can find it over in the book of Colossians. The circumcision made without hands. That's what you're reading about right here. The circumcision of God, which is made without hands, is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What God did through the Word of God, He did an operation where He cut you loose from this body. He did an operation. He cut you loose. The Word of God, the entrance of thy Word, giveth light and life. It comes in, come in your body. You believe Jesus Christ through the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. This is Spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are what? Life. And He took, and that Word of God cut you loose from this body and sealed you with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, you got, guess who's living in there with you? God. That's the only thing good about you is that new man. It's been cut loose from this body of flesh. Circumcision made without hands. Now, dwelling within this body is a new man. You've got a soul that's been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's as clean and perfect as when the day that God first made Adam and Eve, without fault or blemish, anywhere in that new man. You've got a spirit that was dead, but now it's alive. Amen? Before it could not communicate with God, but now it's alive, been made alive by the Word of God. That's what the Bible's talking about over here, where it talks about, you know, a resurrection. Huh? There's a spiritual resurrection. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but when we accepted Jesus Christ, we got life. Amen? He that hath the Son of God hath life. And when Christ came in, He brought life. You were cut apart, set apart. And now here you are. Amen? Living inside a dead carcass. And you've got to drag that dead carcass around. Because this carcass is still separated from God. Amen? And you got to, hey, that's reading why the Bible says, you know, what do you got to do? You got to reckon yourselves dead indeed into sin in this body. Paul said, within me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And that's how powerful the Word of God is. It cuts you loose from a dead body. He said, I ain't dead, I'm breathing. Hey, every day, stuff's falling off you because you're dead, huh? You're dead. You're just falling apart. Praise God. I'm going to get a brand new body one day, amen? Huh? I'm going to get a brand new glorified body that's going to be life in it. There's no life in this body now. It's dying. You can't expect good out of it. You got to constantly be renewing your mind. You got to constantly be bringing this body into subjection. Because all this body wants is what's in this world. That's all it wants. There's nothing in this body that wants God. That's that new man in here. See, you got two natures. You got an old nature. It can't do nothing right. I promise you. That old man can't do nothing right. But you got a new man that can't do nothing wrong. That's the reason why Paul says many as that are perfect. What do you mean perfect? Ain't nobody perfect, right? Well, God said you were. You got a new man that's perfect. But you've not yet arrived because you got two natures. You got an old nature. See, you're not complete till you get this brand new body, the hope of the resurrection, which is a new body. Amen. Now you got to see, if we don't divide this properly, there's a lot of people out here. You'd be surprised. I bet you went across the church. I bet you less than 1%. In the churches across this county, has any idea what I'm talking about? Now, whose fault is that? Is it God's fault? That's exactly right. Judgment must start at the house of God. And it's time that we get off our seat of do nothing and start telling folks, amen? Let people know the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news that God has given to a Gentile church. Amen? Which is Christ in you. The hope of glory. Amen? They need to understand that Jesus Christ is alive in His church today. They don't know it. They think He's off in space somewhere. Most of them. They don't understand that He wants to live in them personally. Personally. They need to know this. This world needs to hear this. But it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hey, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now notice this. And neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. See this Word of God? When you stare into it, it's staring right back into you. It's staring right back into you. It's burning a hole into you. Every time you pick it up and read it. You know what it's doing? It's judging you. Righteous judgment. And it'll point out to us the things we need to change. Did you change anything? Did we change anything this week? Did the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, show you anything this past week that needs to get changed? You've arrived? Have you arrived? You already got everything under control? Huh? Or the Holy Spirit through the Word of God teaching you? Amen? Showing you areas in your life that, man, we need some fixing up on. We need to get out of the way and let Him start working and building, you know, cutting things out, needs to get cut out, adding some things in that needs to get added in. Kind of like my house over there. That thing needs some work on it, boy. I mean, got some rotten places needs to be tore out, you know. Needs some good material put back in. That's what God wants to do in us. He wants to cut out the things that's hindering us and build in some things that's going to help us and help other people. That's what we're here for, isn't it? Ain't that why we're here? We're here to be a help to reach people in this world. That's the only reason why we're here. If it wasn't, when He saved us, He'd have took us out. But He left us here to do a job. And that is to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then tell them about Paul's gospel that they won't be hopeless. We can't do it in ourselves. It's got to be God working in us. But it's powerful. Turn to 1 John. I mean, not 1 John. Turn to John. Excuse me, chapter 1. John chapter 1. Can't talk about the Word of God without going to John chapter 1. But I know some things when I was looking at John this time, and I guess maybe I'd seen it before, but I jotted down some things here. But in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look at this. Word equals God. Mark that down. Word equals God. In other words, when we read this book and we study it, the Word equals who? Who is it talking to us? God. The Word equals God. Notice this. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Now all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made. Now, the next thing I'd like to say is, the Word equals creation. And we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So Word equals what? Creation. How is it a man is made a new creation? It's by the Word of God. The Word equals creation. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the Word equals light. And you know what light means? Illumination. If you're going to have your eyes illuminated to what God is saying and doing, it comes by what? The Word. The Word equals light. Now, notice this. The light in Him was life. So, the Word equals life. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And life comes by the Word of God. The Word of God. The entrance of Thy Word bringeth light, and the light bringeth life. When you saw that what you were, you remember that? You remember when you got saved, huh? I remember 1984, crawling around on the ground. Crawling around in the living room, and God showed me what I was, a sinner, and I cried out to Him. And that brought life. The Word equals light. Notice this. The Word equals life, light. Notice this. It came in the world, and the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness to that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, become the sons of God. The Word equals a new birth. The Word equals a new birth. When you receive the Word, it equals a new birth. That Word of God is powerful. What a Word we got. It has, you know, when you go out and you talk with people about the Lord, don't go out there trying to get a prayer out of them. Go out there taking them something. They're starving to death. You realize that? They're eating the husk and the filth of this world, and they need good food. They need the Word of God. It has the power to change men. The Word of God is quick and powerful. Hey, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people who say, hey, don't you want to be saved? Yeah, I want to be saved. I mean, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. Yeah. Well, would you like to call on the Lord? Oh, yeah, yeah. And then get down and pray with them. What did they get? Huh? That's right, they got a prayer. Got no understanding. Got no strength. Got no sustenance. And they might have even got saved if they, from their heart, were truly crying after God. But you left them there naked and undone. And boy, and here comes a cult up there. The devil said, that guy just called on God. We got to get him, stop him right now. Amen. And next thing you know, they feel his head full of junk. And they're confused as a termite in a yo-yo. And it'll never grow. But the Word of God is quick, powerful. Let's trust the Word of God to do what God intends for it to do. It equals a new birth. And finally, I'd say, you look down here, was born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Finally, the Word equals grace and truth. I mean, God is gracious to us. That's the truth. He's good to us. We can trust, we can rely on Him. He's gracious. Amen. Now, the Word of God is quick, it's powerful. I didn't get to this question, but I want you to think on this this week. I want you to think on this this week. I went to my daughter this past week. I want to throw this out. She gave me a good answer. Boy, I was, it made me feel good. It made me feel like I did a little bit of my homework over the years, and some other people would put some things in her. How do you know that the Bible is the Word of God? How do you know? Now just think about it. How do you know? I know that the Bible is the Word of God. And I know how I know. I know why I know it's the Word of God. You ever considered that? You ever think on that? How you know that it's the Word of God? I got scripture verses that shows you how you know that. And we're going to look at that next week. Now, I encourage you, if you got a friend, and maybe they're struggling about knowing if the Bible is the Word of God, we'll have something for them next week and help them see how they can know that the Bible is the true Word of God. Think about that this week. I hope it puts something in you to make you go dig and ask yourself. I already knew, but I went and dug, and I started hunting for more scriptures, you know, to show me and be a help and hopefully be an encouragement. How, you know, Brother Rick, I mean, you remember they had the book came out, Logic Must Prove the King James Bible? Had some good arguments in there. But, you know, when I got done, you said, only thing I'm looking at there is scholarship. This is work that men done. You know, trying to show you the history. Where the Bible came from and all this, you know. Well, that's good, but that still don't prove that it's the Word of God. Just because I got a lineage of how it came along, came up through it, you know. That still doesn't prove it. I mean, there's been a lot of books. You can find a lot of the stuff that the Greeks did, for example. And I know that they're not truth, you know, about the gods. But how do I know this one is the Word of God? We'll look at that next week. Would you pray for us?